CTV.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow I will be finishing up on divine principles of sexual attraction, as far as I know. Tomorrow I'll be talking to you about fetishes and dominatrixes, or is it dominatrices? I will look into the plural, and I'll have that for you tomorrow. Where else are you going to get this? Nowhere else. Today, I have to tell you about an interesting thing that happened with Juliana and me yesterday. After the video, I was sitting on my futon in the laundry room, and I'm going to light my cigar here, if you don't mind. Somebody talked me into match lighting before, thinking that it was so far superior to propane lighting, but I'm out of matches, so I'm just going to do this. Some might say this is a cheat way, but so anyway, I'm editing my show, and Juliana was coming through, and I said, Juliana, sit down, look at the lighting. It was kind of light like this, you know, the sun was shining on it, on me. I thought it was pretty good lighting, and I wanted her to see it. So she sat down, and she started watching the video. And she started watching at the part where I'm telling people to embrace their God-given beauty, to not push away what God made them. In fact, to enhance what God made them. Now, I don't think I'm betraying a confidence here to tell you that Juliana had a couple glasses of wine, and I could tell that after she watched that part, she was thoughtful. She went into the kitchen. A couple of minutes later, she came back, and she's standing in front of the doorway. I would love for her to reenact this for you, because it was so cute and funny. She was standing there, just standing there. I tell she wanted to say something. She goes, Martinico? Yes. What about ugly people? What do we do about ugly people? Well, let me tell you. I said to her, and everything we talked about for the next 15 minutes, I made a note of, and I'm sharing it with you now. After our conversation, I said, Juliana, thank you. You just gave me my topic for tomorrow's show. For one thing, there are some people who are more attractive than other people. That's a given. God is not into equality. God does not equally distribute looks. He is not an equal opportunity beautifier, okay? But it is nevertheless true that no matter what condition your face or your form is in, you can improve upon it, and you can be thankful for what God gave you. But to the former statement, you can improve upon it, always. I know you can only do so much within your genetic predisposition, your genetic code, but we ought to do what we can. And what I said to Juliana is, I said, and I think I'm the first one that came up with this, I'm going to tell this to you. I said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I thought that was pretty unique. Pretty classic statement there of mine. It might become popular. We'll see. I'm pretty pleased with it. And then I also, she caused me to remember something. When I worked for the Postal Service, there was a rule carrier by the name of Robin, a female. And Robin was not what you would call a classic beauty. But as I got to know her, I discovered that Robin was feisty, she was smart, she was funny. And the more I got to know her, the more attractive she became. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And it's so true. We can often misjudge a person because of the outward appearance. And this led to a deeper conversation with Juliana and I. And I said to her, you know, the classic saying, don't judge a book by its cover, that is so true. So many times we judge people by what they look like. And I hope no one has misconstrued my talks here as judging someone based on their looks or judging them based on the condition of their body. No, because that is very shallow. In fact, I have been trained to actually look, to study, to get underneath the surface of those whom the world would call less desirable. In this case with Robin, as I got to know her, she became more attractive. And I go, this girl is really sexy. But I didn't think that when I first saw her. But instead of, and I told Juliana this, she said, well, sometimes, you know, if we see people who are not attractive, we draw back. And I said, yes, and that's a wrong reaction, Juliana. We ought not to be that way, because that is judging a book by its cover. You have to open the book, see what's in there. And I find that those people that the world would label undesirable, or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, these people are fascinating. They have an inner life that, if you tap into it, and if they let you, and if they favor you enough to bestow their wisdom upon you, man, you can learn a lot. And sometimes the opposite is also true. You know where I'm going with this, do you? Is it the people who are beautiful on the outside? Sometimes there's not too much insight. Sometimes. You could almost say, almost, it's a rule of thumb. How many times do we look at people who are handicapped in this life? Children or adults, but especially children. You look at them and they're maybe in a wheelchair and they're crippled and their arms are doing this, their head is down here. And I've seen kids like that, and they have this smile on their face. It's like they have this strange contentment that I actually envy. And I think that God compensates to such people. I think that the more someone is considered less desirable in this earth, on this earth, by the earth's people, the more the world stereotypes them, the more God compensates them in other ways and gives them a wisdom that the world totally misses. Except for that rare person who, I really think I'm one of these rare people. I will stop and I will say, this person is considered the offscouring of society. Therefore, that person has something that I need. I want to learn something from that person, and I will go out of my way to tend to the person who would be deemed by this self-righteous society to be less than. And I hate that. I hate that. And I'm telling you, it's a rule of thumb. God overcompensates. I mean, just look at the evangel. Again, Paul says, there are not many wise among you, not many noble, but it's the stupid things of the world God chooses that he may confound the wise. A perfect example is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 said that there was nothing about him, his appearance, that would draw us to him. I believe the man was so ugly, if you want to say, it's a terrible word, I hate the word, but let's use it here because I think it's applicable, that people crossed to the other side of the street. And again, God did this on purpose because he wanted to give the gift of spiritual enlightenment to those who would take the time to listen to this man, to be drawn to this man, not because of outward appearance, but because of inward life. And it's the life that came out of him, but you would totally miss it. It would go untapped by you if you were in the first century and you judged Jesus Christ simply by appearance or by his pedigree. My God, he was from Nazareth. That was the slum of Galilee. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, that was the saying back in the day. It was actually a saying in our Lord's day. It was already a saying before Jesus Christ was even born. He was born in Bethlehem, went to Egypt to escape the Herodian persecution, came back to Nazareth, and this is why God brought him to Nazareth, because Nazareth already had a reputation of being the least of the least. We already know that Israel was the least. Nazareth became the least of the least. That's where God put our Lord, and on top of that, he made him not very attractive. And on top of that, he put him in the lower strata of society. the lower class. That's right. Joseph was a working man, a carpenter by trade. His wife stayed home and looked after the kids. Good for her. Gotta love that Miriam, as the Concordant Literal New Testament calls her. I have a friend of mine in California who attempts to send some of my videos to her associates to try to get them to come to the truth. And one of the people she sent my video to said, and I quote, "He's in his car. He's in a car." Apparently that was the end of me. I had no chance to dispel my beautiful wisdom. I had no chance in this person's life to dispense the evangel of the grace of God, because of my outward appearance did not meet the standard of this certain individual. The fact that I was in my car was a stumbling block to her, because she judged by outward appearance. And this person, just by that comment, "He's in his car," four words, this person would have rejected Jesus Christ. Why? Because they are proving themselves to be wired to judge a book by its cover. And they're not familiar with the scriptural principle that God gives to the weak, the ignoble, and the stupid more exceeding wisdom. He actually likes it, because then it's a spiritual thing and not a thing of the flesh. Going to go back to Jesus Christ, but first King Saul, the first king of Israel. Israel chose him. They wanted him because, first of all, they wanted to have a king over them like the other nations. They didn't want an invisible king in heaven. No, they wanted human. And they picked Saul because he was head and shoulders above the rest of humanity. He's a very tall man. Very tall man. Very good looking, too. Yeah, good job, Israel. You judged according to the flesh, and what'd you get? Yeah, you got flesh. You got nothing but flesh. Saul was replaced by King David, a kid, a young boy, who was of no reputation until he slaughtered Goliath with a slingshot. He's got a slingshot. I can't watch him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The heavy artillery is the Spirit of God coming through people like David and me. The heavy artillery is not, in my case, in that I'm broadcasting from the Crystal Cathedral, or in the case of David, that he's tall and stately and handsome and backed by a Sherman tank. No, he's a kid, barely dressed, fighting the champion of the Philistines with a slingshot. Love that truth, and that is a consistent truth. Ugly people, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do with the little and the ugly? We go to them. We ought to be drawn to them, because from them, oh, it's going back to the kids. How many kids that are all wrinkled up in a chair, they're prodigies at something. There's something delightful inside of them. There is something so pure and so good that they're untainted by the world. And I see it now. I mean, you do pity people like that. But on second thought, I have a feeling that some of those kids are probably overall happier than I am. They've got... Because, I mean, I have so, really, honestly, I have so many advantages. I'm so damn good looking. It's a stumbling block sometimes. And I think that it would, in a way, be better. Oh, my gosh. I have a subscriber who's watching this show right now. His name is Morgan. I introduced you to him one time. I showed you a picture of him. He had an accident years ago. And he is handicapped now. He can't walk very well. He's in a wheelchair. His voice is very strained. And yet he looks back and he says that changed his life, because for the better. In some ways it was very, very bad. In other ways he looks back at it and says, "I was delivered from caring about the world, from interacting with the world. I was suddenly out of the orbit of the acceptable people." And because of that, he enjoys a fellowship with God in Christ that he's never had before. So many of these poor crippled children, they're prodigies. You see these, they're like math geniuses, or they can play an instrument. and somehow I think God gives them an inner happiness, an inner contentment, an inner peace that the rest of us good-looking people here in the rat race, we simply don't have. So how great is it? I don't know. But this I'm convinced of, that the person who said he's in his car would have rejected Jesus because he's from Nazareth. Where's his diploma? He lives in the woods. He doesn't even have a house. Martin Zender lives in a laundry room? Yeah. They miss it. They miss it because they don't stop to consider the lowly, the meek, the humble. But it is in the lowly, the meek, and the humble that God's greatest wisdom resides. The disciples had to learn this when they were standing with Jesus one day at the temple, and people were coming in and putting their contributions into the box. You know this story. True story. It wasn't a parable. They were standing there watching people come in to the temple, put their offering into the box. A lot of high rollers were coming through, putting lots of money, and the disciples were oohing and aahing over the amounts of money that some of these people were putting in. Again, judging completely by the flesh. Well, what happened next? A woman came in. A decrepit woman. I picture her. I forget if the scriptures describe her physical appearance, but I picture her as elderly, stooped. Not stupid, but stooped, possibly with a cane, and she throws two mites into the box. Smallest coinage in Israel. And I'm sure the disciples were like, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. They were embarrassed for the woman. Everybody else is giving, putting in the Benjamins and the big bucks, but she put in two mites. And this became an object lesson to the world for all time when Jesus said that this woman has put in more than all the others. Why? Because the others put in of their superfluity. They put in out of their excess. They were not hurting at all to contribute. Somebody might have put in $10,000, but that person is a millionaire. So what's the big deal? It's no big deal whatsoever. But this woman who was poor, Jesus says she has put in everything. And in the sight of God, that small offering coming from the heart, giving of the all, was more valuable to him than all the extravagant monetary gifts of the wealthy. Believe me, I think of this every time someone sends me a check, and this has happened to me many times, when people send me support for the work. Some people have given a lot, and I'm thankful for every single thing that you have given to this work over the last 25 years, because it's the only reason why I'm talking to you right now. It's the only reason I continue to herald every day this truth. The only reason I continue to write books is because of your generosity. But every now and then, someone will send me a check for $5. I think someone actually once sent me a check for like $2.39. $2.39. I have been trained by God to appreciate what the world will consider small and insignificant. I remember kissing that check. I slowly picked up the check, brought it to my lips, and I kissed it. This meant as much to me as the person who gives a gift, let's say in the hundreds of dollars, because I have a feeling that they're giving out of their want. This is how God measures things. This is the true way to measure things. So when it comes to human appearance, let us all be aware that those to whom God has been less gracious in the comeliness department, to these people, many, many, many times He has given superior truth, superior life wisdom. And we ought to be drawn to these people as we would be drawn to a treasure chest, because God has given them the treasure. And to anyone that the world would deem insignificant, small, despised, of no reputation, such as our Lord when He was on earth, to these He gives the secrets and the truths that belong to aeonian life. Let us not overlook the important things in life. Let's not judge any book by its cover. But especially when we see a ragged cover, a torn cover, a small cover, an ugly cover, let us open that book, because in it will reside the wisdom of God.